Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 26, emanating from 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street near the Birmingham Bridge. I call it Pittsburgh's Bourbon Street.
It is Pittsburgh, right?
Jimmy, yeah. Well, you're a strip guy that moved to the South Side.
Yes. Saturday night, it is like Bourbon Street, man. Drive down Carson, people just going crazy.
It's all about, and what I love about East Carson Street, it's not all cookie cutter stores. It's all eclectic, original places of all
Pittsburgh.
And maybe more than their share of tattoo places, too.
We got all those tattoo places cornered here. Strip the same way. Strip's a nice little blend of, you know, some of the modern couple franchises here. Mostly, though, it's Pittsburgh. You know, mom and pop places have been here forever. Southside's a lot like that also. It's got a nice mixture. It's nice. Pittsburgh, we're a nice balance.
We're in the wine cellar at 23rd and Vine.
We're only allowed in the cellar. Places.
Bob Bazzelli, Lou Caputo, the owners, will not allow us above ground.
Yeah, well.
No merchant will.
We're working our way. Here. But I think there's a place for a little performance stage here in the corner.
We're going to do it. Bob and I were dreaming it up.
We keep talking about this. When's this going to happen, Jim?
Stage built. Soon as they build a stage.
Oh, you don't need a stage.
Stage right here.
Yeah.
Our special guest this week is Brian Drusky, Drusky Entertainment. His name has been synonymous with entertainment in the city and the tri-state since 2006. But going back before that, Brian, I had met you. You were trying to merge your way into television. Fortunately, you saved yourself.
Exactly.
And then you started... You got the bug, though. You wanted to promote local acts originally.
Yeah. I mean, I started, like I said, I interned for Larry and John Shumway in 1993 at KDKA TV on the morning show.
Oh, you're kidding.
In the morning show.
Oh, my God.
I was up at 3 in the morning.
Yes.
You know, they have the coach's treat. Larry and I have coach's treat. Like, Kevin Battles on my coach's treat.
Christina Aguilera was on my show when she was 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she sang... Two songs. One was Break It To Me Gently.
Oh, wow.
And you're thinking, where is that coming from? A 9-year-old that you knew, I'm not going to say I knew she was going to be a multi Grammy Award winner, but you knew like she had real talent.
She had presence.
Swear to God.
And Brian was one of our special interns. I knew he was going
to
be a success.
I swear to God, I'm at the Penguins game. Christina Aguilera is like 10. She's singing the national anthem. I'll never forget it. It was like amazing. I'm blown away. I'm like, what is this person, this little girl? And the guy behind me going, she ain't never going nowhere.
It's like, what are you talking about? So that is so, for me, every time I see your name, which is daily, I think about it. That's just another cool connection in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, definitely.
So when you went out and started booking unknown acts originally, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like local, you know, I was trying to get more... trying to get into the television field, and that didn't happen. So I started working with local acts, and I'd always been a big music person, so I started working with local acts.
What local acts did you start working with?
Do you remember any?
No, but none that we would remember or know?
Let's see. Like the Buzz Poets, if you remember the Buzz
Poets. They're great actors.
Yeah, I love the Buzz Poets.
Yeah, very
talented. They made it.
Okay, nice. Somewhat, yeah.
Very talented, yeah.
And then, you know, then I was working with a couple other ones as well, and then I met Rich Engler because I was booking a band he liked this band that I booked. They were kind of like a jam band called Pied Piper.
Okay.
And then we put him on some shows, and I met him, and then they needed somebody. They were starting like a management, DC's Ringler management team. They needed somebody to book shows for, so he hired me. They hired me for that. And then that kind of went by the wayside, and then I stayed on because I was learning all the other, everything else at the, at that, as a, being a promoter and stuff, and then he offered me a job.
You must have been, we know Rich, obviously, and you must have been like a gambler deep down, because that's a gambling game, isn't
this
it?
This is a gambling.
Right?
This is like legal gambling.
Right? It is, right?
You know
what I
mean? You know, you could, you know, doing this, you can, one day you can make a lot of money, and one day you can lose a lot of money. It just depends on how well, how smart you are, or how stupid you
it's
are.
It's a great rush, though,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, but you suffered tremendously, like so many entertainment-related organizations and performers, because of COVID.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the first time, like, everything has been shut down. I mean, it was, like, a few months. I mean, because we did the... We ended up doing drive-in shows because they were socially distant and stuff. We did that in place in Butler.
I remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we started doing that, but for most people, it was just shut down. I mean, it was very difficult business. I mean, we actually, a bunch of us independent promoters around the country put together, there was a thing called NIVA. It's a National Independent Venue Association, and we kind of started that for us to be able to survive, a group of people to survive, and we did. So it was, you know, some people didn't, but, you know, it was...
You must be doing okay. You have a very expensive shirt on. Look at the threads.
It's nice.
You see it, man.
That's
take a feel of that? Okay, yeah.
It's kind of cool when you go through adversity, though, and you get through it, right?
Yeah, because
there's nothing like it.
This is the first time, like, my phone didn't ring 100 times a day.
Right.
You know,
but we took it for granted that there would always be live concerts. I mean, no one in a million years could have figured that we would have another pandemic that would shut down the world.
I've been living in Larry's shed in his backyard for 2 years now.
I wasn't going to tell
him. I know, that's our secret.
How about this? I think about you, and truly, especially now, I see or hear your name every day. So you're booking all kinds of venues all over the tri-state. Yeah. That's a lot to manage. I'm just looking at just the more recent bookings you have. How about this one from Sunday, March 27th, the Red Hot Chili Pipers.
Oh, the Pipers.
A
well-known band.
Yes. I bet.
The Pipers.
This is pretty good. So where do you start? Because there's ego involved. There's managers who are managing the ego, and sometimes it's not the artist that has the ego, it's the manager. I mean, all of that stuff outside of the business, you know, is putting down a contract. You're going to do this, and I'm going to pay you this for doing that. How the hell do you manage all that?
I mean, because most of it is that you've dealt with these people for a long time already, you know, because they all have agents, and you're not dealing with, like, every specific act specifically, because they're all managed by, or they're all booked by certain agents, and you've cultivated a relationship, and you know, there's some things that you don't agree on, like if they want more money than you want to give them, then, you know, okay, well, I just
won't
do that.
Is that usually the case? Where they think
wants too
they're
much money.
Everyone
wants more money.
That's why we have negotiation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what you do. I mean,
you have to pay them up guaranteed. You give them money.
There's guarantees. Most everyone is a guarantee, and then you pay them 50%, you know, or 10%, depending on which act or whatever. Yeah.
And you've made out well enough to buy nice shirts.
Yeah, there you go.
It's worked for you.
The strangest thing, though, to me is the phenomena of the tribute bands selling out like crazy. Is that a big deal now for you?
Yeah, like, sometimes.
It's pretty amazing. They sell it quick.
Yeah.
You know? So you've worked with a lot of local talent, national talent, over 500 concerts booked so far and rolling. But you have multiple shows going on in the course of any week, like many shows at different
venues.
Yeah,
last night I had six different shows going on.
Hmm. How do you juggle them all?
I have good staff, you know, and, you know, in my... management, you know, my marketing team is really good, and, you know, I have great people who work for me, and we all put it together.
I'm really excited for you and proud of you, because it can't be easy to be out in this business on your own initially?
No, it's difficult because, you know, you got the big, got these big national corporations that just want to squash it.
But the difference is, though, you built it brick by brick.
Yeah.
It's a big difference because you know, it's not like you just hand it to you. Yeah.
Starting as an intern at KDKA.
Yeah, there you go.
Built it brick by brick, and it gives some foundation.
Oh, working with Rich Engler and our producer for this podcast is Dick Roberts, who originally worked for Rich Engler.
Then
he worked for Dick Clark Productions.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's this tremendous Pittsburgh connection, too. I would imagine some of the acts that come from out of town already know about us to some degree here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we known as a good hotbed for entertainment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look any day of the week, there's something going on somewhere at some venue. So, I mean, there's a lot of venues. I mean, there's more promoters in Pittsburgh than almost like New York City. It's
really
crazy. Yeah. It's
interesting.
So many larger. I mean, but then you go to a place like Columbus and there's like one.
Huh.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
So, you've booked like 500 concerts. What were some of your favorites?
To think about that. I worked on Flaming Lips, were a great show. The Mavericks are always a good show. Did the Foo Fighters with Live Nation a bunch of years ago. Probably before he went to... I did Wiz Khalifa a few times, which was great. But there's... You know, I booked bands that, like, started as, like John Mayer, like Nickelback, and, like, these bands that drew, like, 100 people their first time in and then grew into these large acts. So
where was Mayer? Where did he first play?
John Mayer played down where Nick's Pet City.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yes, inkling when an act starts small like that, whether they'll make it big? Can you tell? Is there something about them?
Everyone's talented. You know what I mean? It just depends on how they get bigger. I mean, sometimes you're like, well, they're going to be big. But sometimes it's, you know, some acts you're like, wow, I can't believe they became big, or like, wow, why didn't they become big?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's difficult, but, you know, but sometimes you say, like we were just talking about Christina Aguilera,
right?
You know, how you just knew she had the talent she was going to make it. So it's sometimes you see it and sometimes you don't, you know, so it's interesting.
It is. That's a good question, huh? So it's overwhelming how, you know, look at Mayer. My God, 100 people. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine being at that show.
Yeah, I wish I had been.
So one of the most famous things that a lot of people are curious about is the rider. This is that, okay, you contract them to do a show at 8 o'clock at a venue for X amount of money. And then comes the rider. Explain what the rider is and some of the weird things that you've seen over the years on them from Max.
Well, I mean, the rider, the big thing that everyone talks about is Van Halen and the Brown M&Ms thing.
Yeah.
So that actually, and I just recently learned this because I looked it up, but because someone asked me that same question, but they put that in there to make sure that people were reading the riders.
Write that down, Jim.
I got that.
Yeah, Jim has a huge list on his rider.
One time, Rich... helped me so much, Rich Engler, my career helped me so much, but he booked me in Fairmont, West Virginia. At the last minute, somebody canceled it open for Michael McDonald. And I go down. So the band had a huge rider.
Yeah.
It was just me then. I walk in, I swear to God, like I had a wedding. Like I held a wedding. There's so much food, turkey.
Oh, yeah.
You thought it was all for you, didn't you?
What did this band order? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Well, that's the whole, guys, when you get a larger show and they want catering, so you've got, you know, you have just like you're at a wedding, you know, it's
crazy.
Buffet style or whatever, depending on how many people are eating or whatever. But I mean, that's not every show. Like you don't do that at club shows or smaller shows.
Right.
You know, but like larger shows, it's larger people. There's so many people, like, you know, stadium shows and arena shows and even some theater shows. You got to do catering because there's 50 people and you really can't order out for 50 people. It's not
easy.
And you just have to get that done. But I mean, but like going back to the whole thing, they were with the Van Halen thing.
Right.
They wanted to make sure you read the rider, and the rider is not like an end all be all, really. I mean, it's just like this is what we need to put our show on. You know, like this is what lights we need, this is what sound we need, you know, stuff like that. And then, you know, they all have the catering writer. That's what everyone is, it looks about, is the catering writer, because like, well, we want M&Ms, we want special Doritos, we want, you know, organic cheese, you know, stuff like that. It's just
Larry's,
funny.
That's Larry's organic cheese. That's a must.
Certain type of water. We need volcanic water
and brie cheese.
I was going to say, has there ever been anything they've asked for that you haven't been able to find?
Well, back in the day, it had to be in like right around 2000, but like when Red Bull wasn't readily available, everyone wanted Red Bull, but you couldn't find it. And then a couple years later, it's like, we can't find Red Bull in Pittsburgh. What are you talking about? You know, but then eventually became huge.
So now you're the name, and now you mentioned 100 phone calls a day. Now people want you to book them.
Yeah.
And that's probably, you know, it's feast or famine maybe for some of these acts.
Yeah, for some of them, for sure. I mean, just, I mean, you know, I work in a bunch of different venues and, you know, in a bunch of different cities. So, I mean, that's what I said. It's just, you know, everyone wants to be booked somewhere. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, there's competition. Like I said, there's so many people in Pittsburgh doing it, that you just got to make sure you can't let the competition beat you, you know, in a sense, because sometimes the price goes up where if you do the show, you're going to lose the money. So you got to be smarter than that. And after 15 years, hopefully I'm smart enough that I've made the right decisions.
You're still here in a very nice shirt. We're with Brian Drusky, Drusky Entertainment, Larry Richard Unfiltered, with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland from 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street. More in a moment. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, 23rd and Vine. Thank Bob and Louie as always. If you don't think Bob and Louie is going to throw us out of the wine cellar here.
And that's not one. It's not one of the same person. Bob and Louie.
Bob and Louie. That's Howard Stern's guy.
Sorry, guys.
We're with Brian Drusky, Drusky Entertainment. Let's talk about some shows you got upcoming, because finally it feels like normal now. Is that right everywhere you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, everything's normal. I mean, there's still some COVID some bands want COVID restrictions, you know, because you know, they're on the tour, they're on a bus, and, you know, I mean, COVID's still a thing. I mean,
right.
It's hopefully, going by the wayside sooner rather than later. But, you know, there's still people that are, you know, worried about, you know, getting sick. So, I mean, there's still some restrictions, but for all intents and purposes, it's kind of pretty much back to normal.
That's great.
So let's talk about some shows that you got coming up locally in April.
April. Wednesday, we have at the Carnegie Music Hall, Colin Hay from Men at Work. I mean, he'll put us on a good show. Then I have we were just talking about the Mavericks. I have them in Harrisburg and Youngstown this same week. Who else do I have coming up? Ace Frehley from Kiss is at Jurgles on Friday.
God, it has to be hard to keep track. There's so many.
I'm exhausted.
I think he's without makeup.
He is.
He's probably makeup. Not allowed to do the makeup if he's by himself.
Amy Grant on that.
Oh, yeah, Amy Grant's there. Columbus.
I remember her from back in the 80s. Yeah.
You got the Clarks there.
The Clarks are doing two shows at Craft House, two small shows.
Great place.
They have been a steady staying power for as long, and you've known them, Jim, for
since
forever.
IUP days. I mean, they got the guys.
Greg, you know, Joseph, the chief, was there.
Yes, they're talented and consistent in the sense that they're good people. And the combination of being that talented and that the genuine, that's a nice formula to win, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I have to ask, because I know that you know some of these musicians and some of these bands. You know stuff that you're probably not willing to talk about either. But I just want to know, are most of them good people, or do they let it go to their heads?
No, most of them are good people. I mean, most of the people that are on tour and you meet and everything, they're all just normal people like you and I. You know what I mean? But, you know, there are some.
You mentioned one. You probably don't want to mention it now. I know you don't, but you said that he wasn't quite as nice. Kind as I had hoped he was.
No,
so
no, I don't want to say that.
But no, we won't talk about it. He shall go unnamed.
Yeah. but there are some that are very, you know, the bigger you get, sometimes the it gets to your head a little bit.
Oh, I started thinking of Jonas Salk or something.
Yeah, there's some that are like that. And,
well, it's gotta be, you know what, to play devil's advocate, I mean, it's gotta be difficult for them too, to constantly be in the public eye and people always wanting something of them. After a while, you just probably want to just...
Yeah,
the big thing now is they want a selfie. It's like proof of life.
Exactly.
You know, instead of really autographs are kind of a thing of the past to some degree.
Right.
It's like they want to see so they can show their friends that picture of you with the artist.
Right.
Can I get a selfie with you, Sheila?
Hell no.
Because it's good to go on social media.
Hell no.
It's not real unless it's on social media.
True.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
media.
Where we all get our news now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jason Bonham.
Oh, Jason Bonham. Yeah,
at the Palace Theater in Greensburg.
Yeah,
April 12th. Now this is the son of the great John Bonham,
correct? Yep.
Who passed away years and years ago, but I saw something with him that was so amazing. Is when they did the Kennedy Honors Tribute Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. So Robert Plant and the guys were up in the balcony. But they had Jason playing drums with an all-star band doing Led Zeppelin songs.
Yeah, and that's kind of where this
It was spectacular. Came
from.
Yeah. So I'm interested in that show. Yeah. What is this show? And
well, it's him doing the Led Zeppelin stuff. You know, I mean, it's his version of doing, you know, all the Led Zeppelin tunes and everything. So, and it does well. I mean, they've talked about having him go do it. I don't think it's ever going to happen because I don't think...
You mean with the band?
With the band and being, you know,
right.
Doing a Led Zeppelin reunion.
Man, I would like to see that.
You think that will...
I don't know. But, you know. They've been talking about it for years, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
The money would be unbelievable, right? Yeah. At some point.
Robert Plant, though, he's into this whole thing with Alison Krauss, and kind of he's into a different vibe.
Yeah.
But there are bands, when you go see them, mm-hmm. at least for me, I want them to sound a semblance like... what they sounded like back in the day on the record or
right.
CD or now digitally.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And then sometimes you go to a show and they're not really that band mm-hmm. in a live performance. And I saw Zeppelin when I was a young guy.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't wait to see them. I mean, it's Led Zeppelin.
Right.
And it didn't sound much like the record.
Well, that, you know, that's what's amazing now. And you know, you're singing now and everything. The way technology's changed. Well, you're right. Whenever in those days, but now bands can maybe sound closer because of auto tune and all the different technological advances they made.
Well, a band
but you're
can
right,
be mediocre and sound great.
Yeah. That's why you have big mixing boards.
Yes, it's changed. It has changed. You're right.
You also have at Jurgles. Now, Jurgles has been a great venue for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a great performance area there in the north off of Warrendale. We've done Night of the Singing Dead shows, which were a blast. But these tribute bands, but they get some big names up there.
Oh, yeah, we do a lot of stuff up there. I mean, I've been doing, I went in there probably now 6 or 7 years ago because I'd owned Alter there for a couple, Alter, which was in the strip that we were talking about before.
Okay.
And then, you know, that they sold the building there, and then mm-hmm. I needed that 600 cap place, and I worked out a deal with Rick and doing shows
Rick Jurgle, and I know Kelly and his wife. Great
Kelly
people.
Lisa, yeah.
I mean, I would have never... I knew Kelly and Lisa before they got involved in Jurgles. They were just like parents of another student of my son. Huh. You know, they played football together. And how they got sucked into the entertainment business, too, because their demand is they got to put acts in that venue to make it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kelly has a good graphic design company, too. Yeah. So which how we do most of the graphics for all the shows too. So, yeah, but yeah, I mean that's been very good venue and like you said, it's right in the North Hills, and you know a lot of people like it because you don't have to go downtown and you don't have to pay for parking and you don't have to do all that.
It's a
stuff.
Great room, everything about it, and the people are nice. Since again, it comes from this, Rick Jarrell's one of the nicest people, most genuine person you can meet. But it's a cool vibe when if you look deep down in these clubs, it usually comes from the staff, the people running it, that make it work.
Yeah. And then like a place like the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead, which is 1,000 capacity.
Yeah,
that's a
love
beautiful
that room.
Venue.
Yeah. I mean, that place really sat empty for 50 years. I mean, not like it's like nothing happened, but it was just like community theater.
You know,
I'm
ashamed to say I've never been in that venue. I've lived here my whole life.
Really? Yeah. Never? Really? In the last 10 years? No?
No.
I've played a couple beautiful rooms to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I gotta go. What show should I see, Brian? If I had to pick one, You probably don't
there's
have
a comedy show next week. What were we just talking about? Yeah, I have a show. Well, I have a show tonight, but that's Justin Willman. I don't know if you know Justin Willman.
Who's Justin Willman? Is it a comedian?
He's a comedian slash.
Where is this
magician? Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead.
Oh, cool. I've never been there.
That sounds cool. Yeah.
A girl named Tom's going to be there on May 1st.
Yeah,
Yachtly Crew. What's that?
Yachtly Crew.
That is
Yachtly Crew.
Yacht Rock. That's a German.
That's true.
What's Yacht Rock? Dress,
and the way
Yacht Rock
dressed.
Is? It's your 70s music. It's your like soft rock.
Okay.
They look like they could be Love Boat cast members.
Exactly. That's their shtick.
I'm all in.
We're looking at our computer screen, of course.
That's their shtick. They dress up, you know, because it's Yachtly Crew.
I mean, it's tremendous.
Yacht Rock music is at seven, like we were saying, Mike McDonald.
Yes, okay.
Steal Away, you know, stuff like that.
James Ingram or whatever.
Yeah, James Ingram, yeah.
Jeffrey Osborne.
Everybody's
got
a
awesome,
shtick.
Man. I'm in. Exactly. I got to come to that.
That's going well, too. It's gonna
oh, that'd be awesome. Beautiful.
As soon as I'm I got to go.
Yeah. When are you there?
I'm not there for a while, but I've nothing booked, but I got to go to see
well,
the Yacht Rock.
We got to go.
Here.
There you go.
Get the man.
We got to see Yacht Rock. When are you at the Carnegie in Homestead?
Nothing booked right now there.
Oh, we got to.
Get on that. Come on.
We're working.
Let me see here. I'm looking at all these shows, Brian.
There's so many. How do you keep track of them?
Yes. Every single day.
David Sedaris.
Great
show. That's unique. That's a great actor.
We're scrolling through here.
Drive-by truckers.
See what looks familiar.
Have you ever seen David Sedaris? You know
no, Al Stewart. You're the cat. Is he good, Dave?
Amazing. Genius. Brilliant. Yeah. Comedian.
Here
right?
you go.
Very funny. Woody
here
Allen-esque,
you go.
You know?
Oh. Jurgles. April 29th. Join us for Bon Journey.
Oh, Larry, we're there. That's Larry's band.
I love Journey.
But the tribute bands
are changing. It's amazing how good they are. Though.
You know what?
They
Brian,
know
I mean, some of the older bands, like old school stuff, enough of the band members are dying off where they only have a member or two and they fight and they can't get somebody's holding the title of the band. And you might be disappointed if you went because it's not what you think it's going to be.
So you're talking about Journey?
Well, Journey, I mean, the young guy they got, well, he's not so young anymore. He's 52. I forget his name. He's Filipino who was on karaoke. Yeah.
Right.
And they discovered him and made him part of the band to fill in the Steve Perry slot. But they've had other changes and band members fight.
Yeah.
So my point is, like you brought up, tribute bands are so popular because for the most part, you just want to go and remember the songs that band did and have them sound like those songs. So the tribute bands do a great job.
Yeah, I mean, there's good ones that sell good tickets around here. Like I have Almost Queen, which I have this weekend in Morgantown, but I also have them coming to Vinosky Winery in June. But they are amazing. Like Get the Lead Out. I mean,
they sound right on. Very 1,500, close.
1,500, 2,000 people.
Right, and their tribute, it sounds a lot like the bands.
A salute to the Eagles, Hotel California at the Carnegie of Homestead, May 7th.
I could do impressions. We'll figure out a lead. We'll just do a band. We'll do a tribute band. That's going to be where we're going to go.
That's one thing I've never saw.
Baby Shark?
Yes, Baby Shark. It's at Packard in Youngstown.
But
I was saying, that's one thing we never saw is like, you know, there's tributes to bands. We never see tributes to comedians.
This is true.
Maybe that's a stick.
You know
for
what?
You.
We're in. I like
this
that.
Could be.
Oh, yes.
You we may have cracked a whole new.
I like it.
Entertainment genre.
We do a tribute to comedians.
A tribute.
Okay, come on, Rodney Dangerfield. Go
tell you. I just watched him the other day on YouTube. It's a funny thing. You get lost watching him on Carson with Dangerfield of all the people. But he had the funniest line, and I always love when we make Carson just cry. And this is so politically correct that, you know, they couldn't do it now, but it's funny. He goes, I'll tell you, Johnny, Tuesday at a Western the other day, the waitress, oh, she wasn't a good look. What do you mean? He goes, tell you, I had a pick in a blanket. She said, do you mind if I wear a windbreaker? And he just fell over. Very politically correct, but.
Yeah,
that's just it. None of the comedians probably couldn't do old comedians because the material wouldn't work now.
No.
You'd be protesting
no
with everything
way.
Rodney did. Half of anyone's act, you can't do now.
No way.
It would be just, you can't say that. You can't do that. You know, but that's why it's probably, might just go on YouTube and watch it because you're never going to hear it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, George Carlin's seven
Dirty Words or whatever. Yes. Yeah.
You still can't say those.
No, but just the political incorrect stuff or whatever, it's just a completely different day now, you know, material wise. Can't do it. Yeah. Well, that's why we haven't seen you.
We appreciate you taking some time, Brian.
Oh, thank you.
Obviously, you're busy. Where did you get that shirt, though?
Larry wants to fashion know, he wants shirt. To
now you can buy everything on Amazon. You don't have to leave the house.
You don't have to leave the house.
But you should go out and be entertained in person at a venue near you. I know that the performers are excited to be back live. I know I've been to a couple shows. Everybody's happy to be out and about. So check out DruskyEntertainment.com. They have their calendar there. And Brian, congratulations on your success. And we'll work out the kinks to this comedian. I don't know. What are we going to call it?
Tribute to the, I don't know, tribute to laughs. I don't want to make up some stupid name.
To laughs.
You can do all the impressions.
Exactly.
All-star cast.
We got to brainstorm this after the show.
I'm telling you, I got no respect at all.
This is the rewrite all the time.
Can you do a Sam Kinison?
I can do Kinison, a little bit. No. Okay. I work, we have time?
Yeah.
I did
it's a podcast.
I opened for him.
We got all day.
So I opened for him a few times. And it's always fun in the graffiti and different play, but there was three times where we're talking about like writers, maybe think of it, seems to be writers. You went in and it looked like the scene. Do you ever see the show Intervention? Right before they get the person in or ready to, yeah. like that. There's everything you could imagine there. Partying stuff. And I'm like, I'm afraid to party with him. He goes, come on, let's go party. I'm like, well, I'm afraid I'm gonna die if I, you know, party with him. So So 6-7 months later, I opened for him again. Same venue. Everything's changed. He's like religious. He's found a religion. Wow. He's got juicers, vegetables, everything around. And he's like, he's reading a Bible. He's reading a Bible. At this, he goes, "Dear mom, how are you?" Like, it's on his cream. Like, she's like, "Let's get some juice." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's the same guy." We do the show. He's great always, as always. 6 months later, it's back to the winter. I'll never forget the line he had. He had a big gulp and he had a bottle of Jack Daniels. He looks at me and he says, "Jack's back, Jimmy. Jack's back."
Brian Drusky. Thank you, man. Continued success. Larry Richard, Unfiltered, Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 26. And you're going to meet a guy named Bobby Schiffman, who ran the Apollo Theater in Harlem for many years next. It's Larry Richard, Unfiltered, with Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland from 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street. And it's episode 26, and we're very thrilled to introduce you to our next guest, Sheila. You brought this star to us, so...
This star, yes.
Oh, pretty cool. You look at the history of Bobby Schiffman and his dad and what's transpired at the Apollo Theater. It's nothing short of amazing.
It's a miracle. It started the careers of so many songwriters, talented musicians, you name it. And so Bobby ran the Apollo Theater in the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, and his father ran it from, I think, the 30s, right, Bobby? We're so happy to have you here. Tell us about how the Apollo Theater all got started.
Okay, my father started the Apollo prior to his taking over that theater. It was owned as a burlesque theater. And in 1934, the mayor of New York City, LaGuardia, outlawed burlesque in New York, so the Apollo became available. My father and his partner were in another theater down the street called the Harlem Opera House, which was built by Oscar Hammerstein, but it was only 1,100 seats. So they moved up to the Apollo, where there were 1,683 seats. That number, 1,683, eventually caused the demise of the Apollo.
Because it was too small and musicians wanted more money than you were able to give them.
That's correct. There was no way that a theater in the modern era could exist with 1,683 seats. Hmm. Not unless they were showing dirty movies.
You gave so many black musicians the opportunity to be seen by not just a local audience, but nationally. I mean, Ella Fitzgerald got her start at the Apollo.
That's correct, as a member of the amateur show. And you know, the funny thing about that story was she went to the amateur show to dance. And they were, the amateurs were all backstage waiting to, for their chance to go on. And the girl in front of her decided to dance. She was a dancer also. And Ella looked at her and said, now Ella told me this, this is fact. She said, I cannot follow that girl as a dancer. She's too damn good. So I'm going to do something else. What are you going to do? I'm going to sing. And she sang a Tisket a Tasket. You remember that song?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tisket. I lost my yellow bit. Right. You remember that song?
Yeah.
That became a hit record for Ella Fitzgerald and was the start of her long, fruitful career.
Well, we have an interesting connection with you, Bobby, and we're doing this podcast at a place in Pittsburgh. In it's called 23rd and Vine, in the, on the south side here. And one of the owners is the business manager for Smokey Robinson. And I know he told a story to us. Remember, Jim?
Yeah.
About being there. And the people taking care of him at the Apollo, which was really where he got a good start, too. Do you remember any stories with Smokey?
Smokey and I were very good friends. I used to kick his ass on the golf course every time he came to New York. And it was my pleasure to whip him every time. But Smokey was one of the nicest people in show business. He's a delightful person and became a scion of one of the biggest record companies in black music. Mojo, the Apollo became the show spot for Motown Records. We were their New York distributor, and Smokey was probably the cause of that. He was a wonderful guy. He is a wonderful guy. I can't wait for him to call me on the phone.
Well, we'll have Bob call. We'll tell him to call you.
Yeah, especially since you said you kicked his ass playing golf. That may spark a phone call.
Maybe, because it was a continuous sparking.
Wow. Sparking or spanking?
Yeah, but I hear that the Apollo, the audience was kind of harsh. You had to be brave to perform there, I heard. They didn't mess around. If you were, they loved you. If they didn't, they let you know, right?
Yeah, it was a very critical audience. It made or broke hundreds and hundreds of careers. But those people that the Apollo audience embraced went on to unbelievable achievements in the music industry. Smokey was one of them. Smokey started on the amateur show at the Apollo.
Wow.
Do you know that?
No.
I didn't That's know cool. that. But there were a lot of musicians, as you were kind of alluding to, that were intimidated by going on the stage. And one of those is Marvin Gaye. Tell us about that story.
Marvin Gaye was not a very good performer. He was a wonderful musician. He was a fairly good singer. But on the stage, he froze up like a... As soon as he hit the center of the stage and the spotlight hit him, he went dead. I had some interesting involvements with Marvin. Those were after he became a successful professional. For example, I'll tell you a story. The last time he played the Apollo, I spoke to him on the phone the night before his show. And he said he's taking a plane. He's coming into LaGuardia at 8 o'clock in the morning. Would I please send a car for him? I said, sure. Well, when I hung up the phone, I said, the hell with that. I'm going to go myself in a limousine to pick him up. And so at 8 o'clock in the morning, I went to LaGuardia Airport to look for Marvin Gaye. I couldn't find him. I looked all over the damn airport for him, and I couldn't find him. I said, well, he screwed up somehow. He must have taken a cab into the city. Because I got a rehearsal scheduled for 9 o'clock with 18 musicians sitting there waiting for him. So I called the theater, and they haven't heard from him. So I ran back to the theater, and then I called Marvin's home in Detroit, and he picked up the phone. He said, "Bobby, I was so scared to come on your stage that I took the plane back to Detroit. I was just too terrified." Well, now I got a whole week's programming built around Marvin Gaye. And these 18 musicians in my rehearsal hall are making me crazy. So I sent a guy to get him. I assume you'll read into that what that meant. I sent a guy with some big bulges in his arms, muscles. And the next thing I know, Marvin was back at the Apollo.
Wow.
That morning, they took another plane back. The first show goes on at 12:30. When a performer signs up for a show at the Apollo, he signed up under my tutelage for 31 shows over 7 days. Shows were every day at 12:30, 3:30, 6:30, and 9:30. And on the weekends, we added an extra couple of shows.
Wow.
So they did 31 shows. And Marvin was there to do those 31. And he was really not very good on the stage.
How long the time was the show? Each show, was it an hour, 30 minutes? How long did the show go per show?
Each show was like an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes.
Wow.
But it had eight acts on there.
Oh, okay.
They had a tumbling act and a dance team and a comic.
I see.
And the headliner and maybe a vocal group. The shows were really very well put together shows because we had an excellent put together. The excellent put together was me.
Bobby, who were the most popular performers at the Apollo? Who really got the crowds going?
You open up an interesting question. You have 40 minutes or 50 minutes?
No, we unfortunately don't, but you can hit the highlights.
Okay. The best performer that I ever had was Sammy Davis Jr.
Really?
Sammy Davis Jr. could do anything. He was a comic. He was a great singer. He was a wonderful dancer and a brilliant musician. And there was one where he played. Where he played every instrument in the band. Can you imagine that?
Up
in the stage, played the saxophone, the clarinet, the trumpet, the drums, the guitar, the keyboards. He played it all. Phenomenal. What else you want to know about Sammy Davis Jr.?
I actually interviewed Sammy Davis one-on-one for television 6 months before he passed.
Wow.
He was in Pittsburgh. And they say he was pushing Sammy Davis barbecue. I had seen him perform years before with Frank Sinatra at our Civic Arena here, which was cool. And I was having an out-of-body experience seeing Sammy there.
You have to try this sauce, man.
Yeah.
Chicken. It's unbelievable.
Well,
you'll dig it.
It's hot.
It's spicy. It's got an aftertaste.
Well, what happened was he had this entourage with him. And at the end, so at first we were going to have 20 minutes. Now it was only 10.
I dig you, Larry. I'm staying another 10.
So
I dig him.
He looks at me, and we do an interview with the camera focused on him. Then all we needed, the cameraman said we need to get a two shot for editing purposes. Mm-hmm. And his manager comes in and goes, "No two shot, no three shot. That's it. We're done here. Let's go." And I look at Sammy Davis, and I'm like, "We got to have this two shot." He understood, and he had a cigarette burning, and he goes, "Get your two shot, babe." So I had a friend.
When you have time off the air, I can tell you some stories about Sammy Davis Jr. that'll curl your hair.
Whoa!
I'm in. I'm all in.
He was not as nice as everybody thinks he was.
Oh!
Bobby tells the truth.
Or I ever saw. He did it all, and he was a master of all of it. But there were some other great performers who came to the Apollo.
James Brown. James Brown had to rock the house, right?
Wow.
James Brown had to be amazing.
I can't hear you very well. You have
James
to speak
Brown, right? He rocked the house?
Pardon?
James Brown? Did he rock the house?
James Brown was a difficult human being to deal with.
Did you like anybody, Bob?
So is Larry.
He was very tough to deal with, but he was also very productive. And he played the Apollo 2 times a year, sometimes 3 times a year. And he was wonderful. He set all the box office records at the Apollo.
Wow.
When James Brown came to town, it was party time. And we, every time he came, he set a new box office record.
Wow.
Of course, we kept increasing the prices a little bit.
Mm. Hey, Bobby, I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, I can tell a story about James Brown.
Oh, I bet you can tell me.
You want to hear a story?
Yeah.
Sure.
James Brown was on his way to Europe, and he stopped by and had a drink with one of the managers of the Apollo, a young fellow named Honey Coles. The name is a familiar name in show circles. But anyhow, he stopped by on his way to Europe, and the two of them got plastered, Honey and James Brown. And James Brown, on a match cover, drew a diagram of how he wanted the stage set up when he returned at the end of his European jaunt. Well, engineers do not put their designs on a frickin' match cover.
True.
The next morning, Honey Coles came in to me and said, he threw me this match cover, and he said, here's what James Brown wants on a stage. Well, it was a very complicated stage, and it took my crew at the Apollo a whole week to put it together. Hmm. When they put it together, it was phenomenal. Hmm. It was really phenomenal. Of course, what James envisioned was nothing like what we finally came up with. Hmm. But it was phenomenal. And James came back from Europe, and he walked into the theater on the morning of his first performance there. And all I heard coming from the dressing room area was a lot of screaming. So I said, what the hell? So I ran backstage. I said, James, what's the matter? That's not what I wanted.
Oh, no.
Listen, you idiot, you wrote it down on a match cover. That's not a stage on a match cover. We did the best we could. He said, well, you screwed up, Bobby. Now I'm going to my job.
He played
it
well.
Is job. He was a man with a temper. Huh. He was a man who expected the world to bow at his request. He was a tough cookie to deal with. Hmm.
But he was and a hell of a musician, Bobby.
And he sold out.
Yeah,
he made
did.
Money.
Hey, you have a phenomenal memory. I know we're not. You shouldn't ask a woman her age, but can I ask a man his age, Bobby?
How old I am? I'm 193.
There you go. Minus 100.
No, I'm 93 years old.
Okay.
And I'm old. Believe me, I'm old.
Did Richard Pryor play the Apollo, Bob?
I tell you what James told me when he came home. He said, Bobby, they love me in Africa. He said, they want me to be the king of Africa. I said, yeah, go ahead and sing, sucker.
Bobby Shipman. Check out the Apollo Theater, the history. And Bobby, we appreciate you taking some time for us here in Pittsburgh today. Thank you.
Wait a second. I got boots here for 43 artists that I'm ready to talk about.
Oh, we're just warming up. We'll come back, Bobby.
We've got more podcasts in the future,
yeah,
Bobby.
Yeah, you better be back.
We'll be back with more.
Right. Do another time. I'm going to go to Britannica. They're looking for me anyhow.
All right. All right, Bobby, thank you.
Thanks, Bobby.
The design in Washington?
Smithsonian.
When I did an interview with Smithsonian Institute, they interviewed me for 4.5 hours.
Wow.
Wow. Well, we could. We wish we could, but we're limited in the time that we have to offer. Well,
we'll have you on again. Yeah, on
there. Running out of tape.
Yes.
Bobby, thank you.
Hey, Bob.
My wife should say goodbye, Gracie.
All right. Bobby Shipman, legend from the Apollo Theater in Harlem. Larry Richard, Unfiltered, Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 26. Want to thank, I like when you say his name.
Marcello.
Did she say that with the good?
Yes.
Jim Patulski, who's an extraordinary engineer.
Jim Patulski.
Dick Roberts, our producer. Bobby Bazzelli, Louis Caputo, that on 23rd and Vine. Hey, ooh. Hey, all right, that's a wrap.
That's fun.
Check us out on kdkradio.com or the free Audacy app, AUDACY.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.